Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. Mm-hmm. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in studio is Stephen English. Stephen English is the co-host, producer, and a stand-up comedian in his own right.
Oh, yeah.
Alongside me in studio. And, of course, by studio, I mean a 2012 Honda Accord that I recently purchased from my father, who sold it to me for above Kelly Blue Book value. Shout out.
I mean, who's Kelly even?
Shout out, dog.
Who's Kelly even?
I think we said this is our fifth vehicle. We've recorded in Old Rusty. We've recorded in your car.
My Prius.
I recorded in a rental with Tim Hawkins.
Yes. In a tour bus. That counts as a vehicle.
Did I record in a tour bus?
Yeah. I mean, they don't know, man.
I don't think I did. I don't think I've ever done a bus one.
Oh, gosh.
No.
Right. So this is the third.
So this is fourth. Yeah, this is the fantastic fourth. Thank you, Backseaters, for tuning back in. And we are always excited to talk to you guys. We especially like talking to you guys when you don't talk back. And that's not true. We have voicemails and emails and all kinds of fun stuff. Before we get to all of that, we want to remind you guys of a partnership that we're doing with the San Diego Croc Center. San Diego Croc Center, for those of you guys who don't know, I worked with for 5 years. I loved it. I love the work there. I loved working there, but I also love the work that they do in the community. And they're in the middle right now of their Heroes campaign. The Heroes campaign, they're taking May and June to raise $105,000 to raise funds for families and individuals in need in their community to get them involved with their life-changing programs. These are programs like swim lessons, ice skating. There is fantastic programs for dance and martial arts, music, all kinds of fantastic stuff. And those are programs that we want anyone and everyone to be a part of who's in the area of the Croc Center. And not everyone can. There's financial limitations, and that's where you guys come in, Backseaters here, to help make a donation to the Heroes program to get some folks involved in these programs. So in order to do that, all you have to do is text Backseat, that's one word, to 41444. Backseat, one word, to 41444.
41444.
Exactly, and that'll give you the prompts on how to go ahead and make a donation there. A lot of you guys have already made donations. Thank you so much, but we need more because what do we got? Two more episodes in June? Come on, Backseaters. You guys got this.
Go ahead and
make a donation and support some folks in need and get them plugged into a great place. Now, that said, we are continuing on in our summer series today, our summer family series. We always talk at all things family. But we've talked family reunions, we've talked vacations, we've talked road trips, we've talked theme parks, all kinds of fantastic stuff. And today, we talked VBS. Thank you for all those great VBS things. And today, we are talking summer camp. I don't know if there is a much more iconic thing when you think about summer as a child, summer as a teenager, even summer as a parent sending your kids away to summer camp. And we're talking all things summer camp with a one Johnny W. Johnny W. is a stand-up comedian in addition to being a former summer camper.
Okay.
Summer camp counselor.
Okay.
And summer camp entertainer.
Triple threat.
He's really, he's the secretariat of
the
camp.
Triple crown of camps.
Of camps. Johnny is a very funny comedian, and we recorded this podcast in a green room in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
We were doing a show up there. I just did shows in Gurnee. It's like that Gurnee. Mm-hmm. You know how certain cities, like, it's really important to them that you say the name they say it right.
You gotta say it right.
Do you know of any other ones? There's like Louisville.
Louisville, yeah.
Do you know Zoltan's joke on that? Louisville. Louisville. And he goes, I can't say it right. I have too many teeth. That's a good joke. Boise. Do you know how the locals say Boise?
No, I did not.
Boise.
Boise?
Boise. Yeah. The only one that has a crazy like mispronunciation that has convinced the country is Mobile. That's not how you
mobile,
say that. That
yeah.
word is mobile.
Yeah, I thought it was Mobile.
Yeah, no, it's Mobile, Alabama, because they have like French roots, so they try and sell that like their fancy
right.
Alabama,
right.
which is like a bedazzled tractor.
Well, I always think about Mobile as the Riviera of the United
States.
Do you? Yeah, the American Riviera, I think.
Oh,
about
yeah.
It. Yeah.
I like that they try, because Mobile does try to pawn itself off as like a fancier town. And I'm like, you can't just change the pronunciation of a word and make it nicer than it is. Like,
right.
do you live in a trailer?
No,
no I live in a mobile home. I live
yeah.
in a mobile home.
In National City.
Yeah. where are you living right now? Actually, I'm homeless. I'm sorry, what? I'm what? Oh, you're homeless.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
a homeless yeah,
individual.
I
yeah.
Anyway, so Gurney is one of them. I think I was the only comedian in history to do that 3-day run. I went to Gurnee, Waukesha, and then Winnipeg.
Okay.
And then I'm home tonight. This is the night before this thing comes out. So
yeah.
I'm not fresh. I'm the
no,
opposite
he
of
stinks.
Fresh.
Yeah,
hey,
he
stop
absolutely
it.
Stinks.
You know what? I can smell the LaCroix on your breath. So anyways, Johnny, you can give him a follow on social media. He on Instagram is @JohnnyWComedy. That is JONNIE, Johnny W Comedy. You can also follow him on Twitter @Johnny _W. Also, Johnny himself has a podcast, and that is called Talk About That, where him and an author, John Driver, sit down with each other and talk funny, personal, real-life conversations with each other. And wherever you check out podcasts, you know, wherever you listen to this one, I bet you can go listen to that one.
Yeah.
So go check that out with Johnny. Before we get into your guys' voicemails, we asked you guys to call in and leave some voicemails about your camp experiences. I want to read a couple emails on some other episodes that we've done, some other topics. First, This is great. Somebody sent us an email about their most embarrassing plane story.
Oh yeah,
this is from John.
Fantastic.
John wrote, "Hey, I love the podcast. My radio broke in my truck, and I'm too cheap to fix it. Great start. So I enjoy listening to it. I was listening to your podcast episode with Zoltan, where you shared a story about how you accidentally took your shirt off on the plane. Classic story on the pod. I laughed out loud, but I have one that will top that. I had been in Uganda for 3 weeks. I got on the plane to come home and fell asleep immediately as the plane took off. After a few hours later, I woke up to find that my face was directly in the breasts of the lady next to me, who I did not know. This next sentence. As I extricated myself from her bosom."
This is a very clinical, way of saying that. Yeah.
"I realized I had been drooling, leaving some residue on her shirt. I immediately apologized, mortified. The worst part about the experience wasn't that I had my face buried in a woman's breast that I didn't know, but then when I apologized, she said, 'Oh, it's okay. I knew you needed to sleep, so I left you there.'" "So don't feel so bad about showing your nipples off on the plane. Keep
right.
doing the great work. Enjoy all that coverage." That's the best plane story I've ever
yeah,
heard.
That's.
How about that woman as Woman of the Year?
That's very nice.
That's so nice.
I've gotten into shouting matches over the armrest before.
This guy.
This lady.
Snuggled up.
He took a nap like on
yeah,
her.
You know that's a mom.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah,
he
yeah.
needs it.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, thank you for being a backseater, and thank you for that phenomenal story. Also, following up on some Lego, episode with Paige talking about Legoland. This is funny. This email comes from Annie. Annie said, "I live in rural Midwest, and every year my kids' school take field trips to the dump. Three cheers for the Linn County Solid Waste Agency and their disgruntled staff. I like to think these field trips are more about where life choices will take you and less about recycling."
Boom. Wow. I mean, what a day, too. Like, you're already working at the dump, and then one day they're like, "Hey, tomorrow there's going to be a bunch of fourth graders that hate being here.
Oh, man, it's going to be a zoo. You're going to be the animals." Okay, last email. This one comes from Emma. Hello, I just got done listening to the Family Reunion podcast, and I just have to tell you about one of my family reunion memories. When I was a kid, we had more family reunions than we do now, but we are trying to pick it back up. We were having a family reunion with my dad's side of the family this particular year. My grandfather's brother was divorced, okay?
Nice.
But had just been recently remarried. All right, it's getting juicy. No one had ever met this woman because we weren't invited to the wedding. All right.
Yeah.
Well, it was Thanksgiving, so everyone brought a dish to share like a potluck. She made a fudge pie. Nothing looked off about this pie in appearance. Fudge pie is one of my family's favorite pies, so everyone immediately gravitated towards it. When I took my first bite, I noticed something didn't taste right. I began looking around at my family, who was also eating it, and they were giving disgusted faces like me. Finally, someone pinpointed why it tasted so bad. She had dumped her ashtray into the pie.
Yo, you know what? This woman might be, she's next level with it, because not only did she went through and said, what is their favorite family pie? She could have made any pie.
Yeah.
Rhubarb, pineapple.
You think it was on purpose? This was like that.
Oh, yeah. She went to she was like, let me make a pie that's undeniable. She went through and did all the research on what was the pie that no one's going to say,
yeah.
No one's going to blink at
You're
and is
right.
going to want to eat.
You're right.
And then she messed it up like that bad.
Oh.
Like, this woman is honestly kind of a genius.
She's a genius and
an
she's
evil
a psychopath.
Genius. Yeah, an evil genius. Yeah.
Anyways, I've never had anything like that. I mean, there's plenty of ashtrays around at my family reunions, and I'm sure there's been tons of ashes in food.
Yeah, incidental.
But incidental.
Yeah.
When I would visit my grandma's, we would everything would smell like smoke when we went home.
Yeah.
You know, you don't realize it until you leave and you're like, my suitcase smells like it and it's plastic. I have a plastic suitcase that smells of nicotine and smoke.
Yeah.
So anyways, well, thank you for sharing that. Now let's get to some voicemails. We asked you guys to call in and share some of your guys' camp stories with us. I haven't listened to these. Steven is our screener.
Yeah.
So once again, if you don't get on air, that's Steven's
fault. Well, I'm going to say this. We have so many voicemails.
You guys are so great.
That we're going to do some this week, and we're going to continue next week, because we had so many, and I don't want to cut too many. So we're going to do some this week, and we're going to do some next week.
Right.
Because honestly,
we'll continue.
Still leave some.
Yeah.
Because we can have some more for next week, but we're going to save some for next week, and we would still like your camp stories for next week. But we'll do a couple right now.
Backseaters, you guys are so great. We're going to do four.
We'll do four.
So
today.
Many.
Let's
it's
do four
so
today.
Hard
we're going
to
do four.
Track
we're going
to
do four.
It's like spilling over. We need to put them in a munchie mug. We need to be.
God.
You didn't even see it coming. They have to get more ethereal, these sneaky ad things, because it can't make sense. If I'm like, I gotta have a mess to clean up.
I want people to really realize this. This is all real. I'm not a smart person.
No.
I'm easy to trick. But it really does. Because you started an email, and I thought, I'm going to wait for it. It's going to be during the emails.
Oh, yeah.
I knew it was going to be during the emails.
Well, I've done that trick before.
And then you lulled me to sleep.
The only time you've ever caught me is when I tried the same trick with the email.
Yeah.
But I lulled you to sleep. Here's my trick is I don't know when I'm going to do it. That's because I can't. Because
you
can't know,
telegraph it. Yeah.
You can't know if I can't know.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Anyways, guys, let me tell you about Munchie Mug, who just re-upped as our sponsor. We love you guys so much, Backseaters, and we love you, Munchie Mug.
Mm.
Munchie Mug is the best spill-proof cup on the market.
It
Fantastic
is.
Product.
Yeah.
It's something that's going to get into your life, and it's make your life less messy. You got kids making messes in your house. I know we got a lot of parents here. You get this snack cup, spills are over. It's going to make your life so much easier. Your kids are going to love it. My kids love it. Our kids sing about it. Munchie Mug. I wrote a slogan for them. We need to charge them more. Tons of great colors. Cool sensory experience made here in the USA. All you have to do is go to munchiemug.com. That's M-U-N-C-H-I-E mug. Munchiemug.com.
Yeah.
You're going to type in promo code Don't Make Me.
Yep.
You're going to get 25% off your order.
25.
In addition to that, you can get free shipping.
Oh,
and that's just for anybody.
Yep.
So there you go, guys.
Just because they're cool like
Check out munchiemug.com. Let's get to some voicemails and hear some camp experiences.
All right, here we go. Okay, our first voicemail is from Timothy in
Oroville,
Ohio, I think. Here we go. Timothy in Oroville, Redenbacher. Somewhere.
Hey, Dustin and Steven. This is Timothy from Oroville, Ohio, calling.
Hey, nailed it.
I don't have a lot of camp experience as a camper, but I do have some memorable moments as a counselor or a staff person at a camp. And one of those is when I got to be able to play Jesus in our weekly Passion Walk one time. Yes, I can literally say that I was crucified at summer camp.
Oh,
the worst
no.
part of it was trying to stay dead while the mosquitoes, a million mosquitoes, were trying to bite me on all over my body. Those kids couldn't get through first verse of "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord" fast enough for me. Hey, I love the show. I'm so grateful you guys are doing it. I'm glad to call myself a backseater, even though I'm always in the front seat when I listen to you because I'm driving down the road doing my delivery. Well, thanks a lot. I look forward to hearing other people's stories this week. Thanks.
Timothy, man. That is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. The misguided passion thing, which it's crazy they're doing that at summer. That's not an Easter thing. They crucified him as Jesus, and he's laying there getting eaten alive by mosquito. That's commitment. That's really some commitment to character that he didn't get up. That guy really,
yeah,
really believed it. That's some Daniel Day-Lewis stuff.
I
right
also
there.
Like he said, I got to, like it was like everyone was clamoring to do that. Yeah. Like, you didn't get to, bro. You were just the last one. You were the last one at the thing. And they're like,
no,
oh, hey,
I bet he's right. No, I think you want to. I think that's a big deal.
Really?
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
man,
no,
you'd be
think,
the narrator.
No,
you know, in the
no,
back
no,
with
no.
The...
Jesus, no lines, probably. You just, I don't know. I don't know. But that's a great story. And good for you, buddy. That would have been amazing if he got up. Like, it would have ruined the whole thing.
Hey, Jesus, I'm already risen. Yeah, it's already, yeah.
Jesus raised on Saturday morning.
3 days, yada, yada, yada. Here I am. All right.
You get it.
All right.
Why has Jesus got all those bumps on his arm?
Okay, so our next voicemail today comes from Joy from Florida. Here she goes.
Well, I wonder where in Florida. Did she
just,
say?
No, just Florida. Just it's generally, just all around.
State.
She's just from around Florida.
If you're near Tampa, I'm going to be there in the fall.
No one cares, dude. All right.
Oh, that's not true.
Hey, guys. This is Joy calling from Florida.
Hi, Joy from Florida.
I have a summer camp story for you. You mentioned maybe meeting famous people at summer camp. When I was, I don't know, 14, 15, 16, we were going to a summer camp in Jekyll Island, Georgia. And it was a Dawson McAllister camp. And I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's, you know, a guy that did stuff on the radio, real popular in the late 90s, which is when this was, by the way. At our camp, we had musical entertainment, and the entertainment that year was a young Chris Tomlin, who at the time had to be 20, 21.
I bet you don't know who that is.
But his shtick at that time was country, so he was like country Chris, and of course all the girls loved him.
Oh, yeah, country.
Again,
Chris,
we were 15, 16 at the time, and he was just out all the time playing kickball with everybody, all the games. But, you know, everybody thought we were going to get with that, even though no one would know what to do with it if they got with it. But side story.
Yo, Joy,
so
you're my
like
favorite right now.
Four or five camps throughout this two-year period, Chris Tomlin was the guy that was always with Dawson McAllister. So we've seen him a million times, have all kind of pictures with him. And it's not till years later that, you know, he is the Chris Tomlin today. So pretty interesting. All our pictures with Chris Tomlin were wearing our most secular Christian artist shirts, like MXPX and the Insiders and the Supertones, because, you know, we were bad girls.
No. Yeah.
That's as bad as we could be in 95. So anyway.
MXPX,
all right. Well, I enjoyed the podcast, and y'all have a great day. Bye.
Joy.
Thank you so much,
Joy. That was fantastic. And I just want you to know she did send me those pictures, and they're fantastic.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're really, really good. I don't know. We'll figure that out.
We'll figure it out. We'll put it on, like, the Instagram or the...
Something like that.
We'll put on something.
I don't know. I don't... Chris Tomlin could bury me. He could he could end my career. It could be over really quick.
Joy, that my favorite is they all wanted to
get with that,
but they wouldn't know what to do if
they
got
that.
I'm gonna tell you,
Joy really put a lot of stank on it there in the middle.
My ex-girlfriend was from South Kakalaki, South Carolina.
Literally nobody calls it that.
That reminded me so much of when, because they would say some stuff like that. She said and it made me say Mike could. You ever heard the term might could? And it's like, you don't want to say you might do it. You don't want to say you could do it.
But you might could.
You might could. you might could. It's like the perfect. It's like the perfect scenario yeah. for when you don't really want to commit.
I got it.
You know.
Well, thank you, Joy, for that, and I'm glad that you might could have been able to hook up with Chris.
You
Nolan,
might could have.
All right, let's do one more.
Okay, our last voicemail of the day is from Cassandra from Redlands, California, which I have been near. So you're welcome, Cassandra.
I've been in that state.
All right.
Hey there, this is Cassandra from Redlands, California. I have a story for the summer camp. I went to summer camp every single summer. And in this story, so at our camp, we had a lake, right? And then it had the blob. So if anybody remembers the blob, I feel like the only reference I know is from Heavyweights. That's the name of the movie.
Absolutely.
Hold on. I'm going to pause this real quick because Cassandra had left two voicemails. And the first one she left... She said it's from the movie Fat Camp. And she said it twice.
Dude,
and I was like, I don't know a movie called Fat Camp. I looked it up. There's a documentary called Fat Camp, which
bro,
is not what she's talking about.
Why you gotta then, sell her out
well,
like
no,
that?
And then in the middle of it, I guess she said something about her gardener, and she's having a whole conversation for like an extra minute of the voicemail with her gardener about something.
That is making Cassandra she's just barking
she's
orders
fat
at her
camp.
Gardener.
She says for the movie Fat Camp.
You know
camp.
That kid where they send the fat kid
and
Fat
she said it twice, Fat Camp.
Fat Camp.
All right. All right, Cassandra, we're going back to your thing.
Let's keep going.
So we had a blob, and the rules of the blob were you had to have somebody launch you who was
weight.
Within like a 20-pound weight
yeah.
difference.
Like
it
marriage.
Couldn't be more than 20 pounds. So, but we wanted to see how high I could get launched in the air. So I lied about my weight.
A woman lied about her weight?
No way.
20 pounds heavier than I really was.
Yeah. Oh, she said
and
she was heavier.
This guy
she's
lied
heavier,
about
yeah.
his weight and said that he was 20 pounds
oh, man.
Lighter this than he really was.
Right.
So we actually had like a 60-pound weight difference. And so anyway, so I, you know, I get on, I'm in the front, I'm waiting. He then jumps, he launches me, and I launch so high in the air that I like go past the lifeguard tower, which is super high. I look around and everyone in the camp like turned and gasped and were like, oh my God. That's all I heard was, oh my God. And then I fell so hard into the water that I got bruises where like all the straps of my bathing suit were. Next thing I know, lifeguard is jumping in the lake to make sure I was alive. Anyway, I do love your guys' podcast. I think it's hilarious. It gets me through my day. I don't want to be that guy that now takes the opportunity to like thank you guys just because I'm on the voicemail.
Oh yeah,
but I do love you guys. So anyway, have a good day.
Yeah.
Bye,
Cassandra.
Just
thank
if you,
you
want
to you
yeah.
and your gardener.
If you want to say nice stuff about us, just so you know.
Guys, the voicemail.
We started this
for
as a
that
needy
reason.
Thing.
Yeah,
we started.
Yeah.
This was definitely a needy thing. Please start the voicemails with how much
you
love us.
You understand we're stand up comedians, right? Yeah. You're like, you know, it would be great if some strangers affirmed me this evening.
Yeah. I don't look at every post I put on Facebook like 3 times a day and see, like, oh, that's the only guy 50.
I usually get more than that. But guys, thank you so much for your voicemails. We're going to do a few more next week.
Yeah, keep leaving them.
Keep leaving them. Yeah. And then enjoy this episode as we talk. It's over. The episode's already started. It's not like the episode starts out. We already talked a bunch of summer camp. Enjoy as we talk some more summer camp with comedian and friend Johnny W. Thanks so much, guys.
And that voicemail number
619-292-8787. You keep saying you're going to hire
Oh, my dad is here.
All right.
Should we have him come sing it right now?
Not right now. I got to go home. All right. Thank you, guys.
See you guys.
You have like the, this is a weekend usually in the life of Dustin Nickerson is what you're doing right now.
I'm doing the, East Coast to West Coast, back to the East Coast. Except you would start west.
I would start west.
You'd zigzag.
Yeah, you had the extra trip.
This is one of those my agent doesn't own a globe weekends.
Yeah, absolutely.
To quote Ron White.
Yeah, and we have the same agent. So this is really a reflection on him.
But it's okay because both these shows have been so lucrative.
And they're going to lead to great future work.
Absolutely.
Here we are. So we are recording in Waukesha, Wisconsin, which has a spectacular amount of... Its vowel to non-vowel ratio is pretty high for a city.
It is. A lot of vowels.
It's just really, and a variety of them.
Mm-hmm.
We got the A and the E and the U, and that's really, I mean, when you get 3/5 of them, it's really impressive. And when we're doing a show here.
Comedy night with
I noticed,
Dustin Nickerson, Johnny W.
And I noticed when I saw you.
Yeah.
First off, you seem tired in our text messages.
I evoke tiredness over text. That's
like
interesting.
The little dot thing would be up there for too long based on how long of a sentence.
I do that. I judge people's bubbles. I judge the text bubble.
Like, are you deleting
wait a minute.
A lot?
Or when they stop altogether and then don't respond, you're like, wait a minute, I saw bubbles 5 minutes ago. What's your deal?
This is an interesting segue into, because there's a lot that I want to talk about today, all under the vein of summer camp, of which you were a camper, a counselor, and you have been an entertainer.
Yeah.
Have you ever been a speaker?
Yes.
Like, where you were not there to tell funnies. You were
I was there. I was brought in as whatever, but then they said, hey, can you stay and do a serious
I've done all of that, too. Uh-huh. Every element that you can do within camp, I've done. When I was last a youth pastor, which would have been like 2005, 2006, the battle was put away your cell phones. We would actually tell parents to tell your kid not to bring your cell phone
to camp, yeah.
Which now I think is unthinkable.
Yeah, you just would have the kids would stay home.
They're like,
they'd be like, no, I don't want to do
camp is
it.
Not better
but
than
But I remember
cell
that. Phones. I remember that too, yeah. I think that was the battle when I was last a youth leader was, we're going to have kids turn their cell phones in or leave them in their backpack or whatever.
Don't bring them to the sessions.
But now it's like, everybody's addicted to hearts and likes and everything. So there's no way they could unplug from that. Plus, they'd want to be taking pictures of it all.
Yeah.
Or if it's not real, if they don't do
which
that.
Which I suppose the youth group, depending on how social media savvy they are, they're probably like, we want them to post about it.
Here's the hashtag for the weekend, kids.
That's exactly it. Any youth pastor worth his little salary.
I didn't know you were a youth pastor. I knew you were on staff at a church, but I did not know that's what you did.
Yeah, and that was the thing that I actually probably was best at was the retreats. Like, I planned some good trips, and they were, retreats and camps, and just because I liked those a lot, and I was like, we can make this fun and different and new. But with the cell phone thing, it's like, you remember Zoolander?
Yeah.
There's that scene, when did Zoolander come out? The late 90s? Mm-hmm. Where Matilda was like, why don't you just turn off your phone?
Yeah.
And Zoolander's like, turn off our phones? Like, they'd say it's like the most preposterous thing
right.
ever. And it was meant to be like, isn't this ridiculous that somebody, like, they're the idiots of the movie, somebody would be that addicted to their phone. And now that's how we all react. Yeah. Like, turn off our phones.
Yeah.
Are you insane?
Yeah.
There's no way.
It's like a pacemaker.
It's an emotional pacemaker.
It is.
It's like, I look at what my daughter does with her blankie.
Yeah.
And that she has to take it everywhere.
It's a security thing, yeah.
It's a total security thing. She rubs her face with it. Well, all the things that I do with my phone.
That's right. It's covered in germs.
It is covered in germs, really.
Well, like the youth thing I just did, filling in for your sick self. And
thank you for doing
that. In Tampa.
That.
But that was
of which I said,
Tampa.
Hey, how did it go? And you said, I got a standing ovation.
I did. Like, and
you could have said good.
No, but I'm just saying, like, I wasn't saying that to
and
brag.
Then you
I was saying that because I was.
Pay me still.
I was surprised.
That's hold on. I want to get that on air. Not to make sure you have to do it. I don't mean
not
it
to
like
follow
a,
through.
I just want to say, like, that's one of the most. This is to brag on you. One of the most gracious things ever. I was, if you follow me on anything, you know, I've been talking a lot about diarrhea lately.
Yes.
And I could not get out. If it would have been in town, maybe, but I could not do a red eye cross country to go do a nooner for a bunch of teenagers in Florida. And Johnny filled in for me courageously, heroically. He was like Captain America picking up Thor's hammer.
Man, that was.
And then said it went great. I got a standing ovation. Also, I still want to pay you to get paid, which is amazing. What a generous thing.
Well,
now
look,
everybody can
Dustin,
love you.
You didn't have to say all that. But
I
don't know.
Generous. I mean, he hasn't paid me yet.
No, it's not happened yet. But I've not been paid yet either.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Right? No, when I first started getting involved in around comics who were Christians, I was like, okay, well, some of these guys are kind of cheesy and old-fashioned and whatever. But then I'd see every now and again, I'd see like somebody who really was great. And then a couple of times I saw somebody who I would hear a story about so-and-so got really sick. And had to miss a show, and then this other guy did the show for him. I was like, that's really cool. That's kind of that's how it should be. And so, whenever Kevin, our agent, called, I was just like, I'll do it. And I was just like, just tell him I just want travel. Like, if they've already paid Dustin, like, I just want whatever the travel costs are. And he was like, no, you need to get paid. And I was like, well, whatever. And then they restructured the whole deal,
right?
Put my name where your name was and all that. But I was like, I don't care. So, I don't know. It just feels like it's weird because it's not my show. I feel like it's not my gig.
Well, so, it kind of got covered in red tape now, so it looks like you'll get the full pay. But you got all the emotional, you know, payoff of me thinking you were going
to
pay.
Right,
me.
I'm so not that... going to have to give you the money. So it's like, what a neat thing I said I would do.
I'll keep you guys updated, backseaters, on future episodes on whether or not I ever get a check after our agent tithes out of it.
That's right. That's true.
But yeah, so back to the even an event like that, like the just telling kids to put their cell phones away seems like an impossible task.
Well, that's
what
I was going to say. You do a youth event, you're fighting, even adults, you're fighting their phones.
Yeah.
The urge to sit still, the urge to look at your phone when you're sitting still and you know it's going to be an hour. Like, that's the other thing is, like, when they say, go into this room of 2,500.
Johnny checked his phone three times in this podcast
go
so
to
far.
Go into this room of 2,500 students and talk for an hour into this microphone and good luck.
Yeah.
And they're all, like, they're already, the urge, like, when you walk on stage, you're like, seen it. And they immediately want to reach into their pockets.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's why I said that. Like, I couldn't believe I got standing up. I was like, wow. Yeah. It was after lunch. It was after lunch session. So they're all sleeping.
Maybe they were celebrating. Maybe it was their first opportunity to celebrate lunch.
I guess.
And they're like, those fajitas.
I felt
were,
like a superhero.
Yeah.
It was great.
That's amazing. Yeah.
But, yeah, that's not the normal you think. Normally, it's like, oh, great. Normally, if you can just keep them from heckling, or not heckling, but helping, you know, they're helpful hecklers.
Yeah.
Marty Simpson always says that, my buddy. People always say, like, are there hecklers in clean comedy? He's like, yeah, but they're all 8 years old.
Yeah, exactly. Which is a terrible heckler. And a lot of time, like I had a show last night in Gurnee. They.
That's near Chicago, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah. And there was like a family of five in the front right. And they were not heckling, but they brought the loudest snacks in history.
Oh,
like,
no.
And it went on.
Remember those bags of Sun Chips that came out a few years ago where they were trying to make the biodegradable, and they were extra loud? Oh. They literally had to discontinue the bag.
I think they had those, yeah, and they turned up the volume somehow.
It was like you were having to be that obnoxious, like, saving the earth over here with my chips. It was as loud as an environmental person would be.
So distracting. I bet camps have one advantage in that it is hard to get reception out there.
That's
like
true.
A lot of time, like the very remote
camp. Well,
they
pitch the idea too, like, you're going out here to be alone with the Lord. You're trying to hear from God, and you don't need this distraction. It's good to, and you kind of sell
even
that
the non-Christian camps too, because I grew up going to like non-Christian camps, like through like the city and stuff.
Right.
And they're like, just, I mean, we didn't have phones and stuff, but they're like, just take it
be
in
alone
with friends
your
and the environment and you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, like the remoteness is
that's part
kind
of the deal.
Appeal. And you do kind of get into it as a kid. You can be sold on.
I went on a trip with my church to Bolivia, and they don't have the infrastructure to have like Wi-Fi that's reliable at all there.
Yeah,
and so it was down a ton, and we just ended up like sitting at the table talking with everybody that we knew. We deeply knew all these people, but suddenly like all these weird things started coming up in our past that we had no idea. You went there to school? You know that person?
Oh.
All because we didn't have our phones
like
distracting
this
us.
This is how people used to get to know
pretty
each
cool.
other.
Yeah.
Yeah. There
pretty
was
cool.
this great meme going around, this was a while back, of like people talking about like, oh, you know, people are on their phones, they never talk to each other anymore. I wish it was how it used to be. It was a picture of like 100 people on the bus all covering their faces with newspapers.
Yeah, that's exactly how it was.
So I don't know if that's the same struggle, but when you were in your youth leader youth pastor days, like I was right on the fringe of it,
right?
And their phones weren't as appealing anyways.
Yeah.
It was like they could maybe text, but all their friends were there anyway, so it wasn't wasn't even really a struggle.
I don't remember it being like a thing. It wasn't smartphones yet. Even when I was a college pastor, which was 07 to 2011. I remember it wasn't like smartphones were around, but it wasn't so pervasive.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, that's the thing. Somebody was saying that the other day too on social media. It was like, used to be you finally got a phone that could go to all these millions of sites.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because it started out, the internet was like four sites. And now the internet is only four sites.
Yeah. Exactly.
We all go to four sites on the internet, even though we could go anywhere we want.
Yeah. They're all,
we
owned
all
by
go
four,
to four
sites. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so weird how restrictive it is, but it wasn't that pervasive yet. And I don't know. Yeah, our meetings were very informal, though. Like, when I was a college pastor, we met in our house. We had food together.
Right.
It'd be like, almost like a devotional kind of a thing. We had a few worship songs.
Sure.
But yeah, when I was a youth leader doing camps with youth, then it was way before, like,
Right.
Kids, like a 14-year-old would not have had a cell phone unless it was like the latchkey kid.
Right, right. And our only, so we had to, all we had to do was worry about waivers. That was our big thing.
Yeah, I was going to say that. You said, I was so good at events. I was like, what about the paperwork?
The paperwork was the thing. It was the, like...
Kids not bringing the permission slips
or whatever. Oh, gosh. And the kid with the meds. There's always a meds kid. And you're like, why do you even get to
you're
come?
You're making the meds kid feel bad. I was the meds kid, Dustin. I wasn't. I had an inhaler, though, for sure.
Yeah.
But I wasn't, like, allergic to everything.
Yeah, yeah. The meds kid, I always felt like... I was glad he was coming, but I felt like what I would do when my leader days, like when I was in charge of the whole trip, is I would take one of the leaders and I was like, I need you to be in charge of meds kid. Like, because I'm too forgetful. Like, this, he's going to get stung by a bee and I'm going to be like, the EpiPen is in the van. I don't
So one time I was on doing a camp, speaking of, you reminded me when you said the van. So we were doing like Habitat for Humanity type builds in this community in Savannah, Georgia. And then we went to Tybee Island on our big play day. Sometimes if you do this with a church, you're like, hey, we're going
to
paint houses. Then we're going to have a day just
for
ourselves.
And we're going to go to a theme park.
Right.
Yeah.
So then we did that, but we went to Tybee Island. So we're swimming in the ocean, and I'm driving one of the vans. I'd borrowed, my brother runs a Groupon, so I'd borrowed one of their vans.
Yeah.
So we're driving, and so I go down, and I get into the ocean, and I put everything on the towel. I knew that I had.
Yeah.
And I get in the ocean, I'm like, did I put the van keys on the towel? Are these van keys? And it was one of those days where the riptide's just churning. The ocean's just pulling you 20 feet down the minute you get in. And I'm like, because they're not in my pocket now. And I'm like, so I go walk back to the towel, finally get out, walk, and it's not there. And I'm like, these keys are in the ocean. So I had AAA, and I called AAA, and they came. They can come make a key for like the empty socket of your van. So by the time the kids were getting out of the ocean, I had a new key.
And
it was like a youth leader like moment in history. I was like, nobody, I didn't have to like explain it. It wasn't really that big of a deal. Everybody just loads in and I'm starting with the brand new key.
They never knew.
I mean, I told some of them because I was close with some of the, kids. But
some of the ones you liked.
Yeah, some of the ones I liked. But I didn't tell any of the kids who'd be like, I'm calling my mom. You lose keys. You know, you're irresponsible.
Do you remember your like first summer camp? Like, when did you start going as a kid?
Gosh, I would have been...
Because those are the more sentimental ones for me as a camper.
Right. And then when you go back as an adult, you're like, this room used to feel so huge
or
whatever.
Exactly.
If you're in like the sanctuary or whatever, or like the hill.
I used to be able to sleep on this
bunk. I used to run
bunk.
Down this hill and slide or whatever. And like, yeah, that's not even a big hill. What in the world? I started going probably like 12.
Okay.
Yeah, like as a teenager. And there'd be always be some like, this was the Christian camp, so there'd be like whatever worship band.
They draw you in
with that. Like, we're going to have so-and-so. And you're like, oh, let's go, you know. But... Yeah, it was always fun. And these are like a week at a time. Whenever I see these movies about like we see Meatballs or one of those movies where they go all summer, you're like, who can afford to go to camp all summer? Who are these kids?
I know that means that's two working parents.
That's right. It has to be.
They're like, we don't got any options.
Can you imagine
for the weekend?
And then there's a big competition at the end of the summer
where
they have to rally and beat the evil other cabins or whatever. Like, what? Who are these campers?
How did you spend a whole summer together?
We go for a week. And you know, it's games, it's kickball.
What were your favorite parts? Were you like the super social kid? Were you the kid that liked the crafts or the hikes or the games or the sports?
I was not social, but I had
So were you nervous going to camp?
Yes.
Okay, so you were
I was kind of a fringe kid even in the youth group days where I was like, I would go one out of every like four services. But then I would go to camp because it felt like, well, this is a cool thing. And
so would you get like dropped off at the church parking lot to go to camp?
Well, my brothers would probably go, so like... I had an older brother, and he would probably go. So yeah, but I have a twin brother too, so we would go. We were the same. So,
twins at a camp.
That's a whole.
Are you guys identical twins?
No, fraternal.
Okay.
Or as he told a girl he was dating in eighth grade, nocturnal.
We stay awake at night, twins.
That's right. We hunt for forage for grubs. So I had my brothers and. But I think I had a few close friends, but it was definitely a moment where it's like, I need to make sure I have the right clothes and I need to make sure and then there's the swimming is always an issue. I was always a little bit of a chubby kid and it's just like that whole thing. Mixed bathing was a thing in church culture. Like, is there going to be mixed, you know, mixed bathing? Mixed bathing meaning boys and girls swimming together. That was like a big thing. Like you had separate boys and girls swim time and they called it mixed. I was like,
that's the most.
conservative Christian thing I've ever heard.
You made boys and girls swimming together sound awful. Yeah. Mixed bathing.
It's called a swimming pool.
It's so, it sounds so lascivious. Mixed bathing. It's just kids in a pool.
Yeah, the way you said it, I was like, do you guys, what?
Yeah, no, it's mixed bathing, bro. So yeah, so we had like 4 o'clock, the girls swim. You know, yeah. 5:30, the boys swim.
I remember, because my first camps, we weren't Christian camps, but I remember being very nervous about the shower scenario.
Oh, sure.
Because you're like, I'm going to be naked in front of other boys. That's yeah. like, or other kids in general.
Yeah, like, it's like that's, Gen Pop.
Yeah. And you like, and you don't, a lot of them are strangers.
Yeah.
And you just hear all these stories. There's always a lot of stories around what the shower situation mm-hmm. is. And I remember there's a lot of like timed, you get 30 seconds, you get in and out. Your like counselor is right there. Like, get in, get out, get in, get out. But they're certainly mandatory for the boys because you're yeah. sweating, especially summer camp. You're yeah. sweating so.
The shower doesn't take.
Yeah.
You, you get out of the shower, you drop, you're sweating again
yeah,
somehow.
Yeah. And or like, or it's cold showers yeah. and it's just, and the water pressure is like, it's really just like, it depended on which shower you got in, and they're like, oh, I remember being told, like, yeah, that's just like bays. There's no curtain. I remember a lot of anxiety about the shower.
Sure, yeah, you're just there. Like, that's not the thing. I was taught shame for my body, okay? I don't know who these people are. They're yeah. like, yeah, come on in. We got a whole squad back here. Like, what are you doing?
Hey, everybody, you guys ready to play kickball first? Everyone get naked together real quick. Oh.
Everybody here loves their body. How about you, Johnny? Yeah. No, I do not.
Everybody in A5 is real close. There's you do. Maybe that's why cabins are so close. Like,
yeah.
That's their first real bonding experience is like, hey, we've all showered together. We actually all have mixed bathed together.
Man, that's the thing. Yeah. All these boys are like bathing naked together. Yeah. Yeah. Like, God forbid we see a girl in a swimsuit.
That is interesting. I think back on my summer camps and I have suppressed memories like mm-hmm. about the anxiety of it all. Maybe it's because you got there and you realized it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Like there were other kids that had like I was always nervous to take my shirt off because I had acne, back knee, like yeah. on that. And I was like, ah,
yeah.
But then I got there. I was like, ah, 1 in 10 of them got zits on their shoulders. We're good.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that's, I don't know, man.
When you like think specifically about summer camp as a kid, is there a certain camp or a certain like, these were like my primary, this was my summer camp years. Like, so when I was in 4th, 5th, and 6th grade, yeah. I went to the same camp 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like through like the city or something. And we would meet at the Kent district or whatever, and they would take us out and we would go to this
and
one.
It was what, like a YMCA camp?
It was
or
Camp Waskowitz. It was probably through the city, yeah. I think. Right. Yeah, it was called Camp Waskowitz, and which is like a very campy name,
camp
right?
Camp Waskowitz.
Camp Waskowitz.
Camp Waskowitz.
Camp, yeah, Waskowitz was the name, which is kind of like a very...
They always end in like a vowel, like Awanita or...
Yeah, well, they all
Waskowitz is like a law firm. Have you been injured?
I think it's a Native American.
Call Neil Waskowitz.
Yeah, you're right. It does have a bit more of a firm vibe to it, doesn't it?
It's okay.
But it was, that's what I think of my, this was where I went 4th, 5th, 6th grade. That was my camp.
Yeah.
Or were you guys going to like different camps every summer?
No, it was the same one pretty much. We had, I grew up Assemblies of God, and so we would do like, it was in Hendersonville, Tennessee, Goodlettsville, Tennessee. And so I lived in Knoxville, so it was a hall for our church.
Okay.
So we'd load up a van, we'd go, and there'd probably be 30 of us or whatever. And so, yeah, so my teenage years, I went a few times. Really, I remember more as like going as a counselor, coming back and coming back to that same area and feeling really strange. Like,
yeah.
These beds are so small. I can't believe, you know, whatever.
Oh, so you went back to that same camp as a counselor.
Yeah, as a leader.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's fun.
Yeah, and then I was a speaker and a comedian at those camps,
too. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah,
were you like in awe of your counselors when you were a kid?
I remember there was a guy. This was separate from the AG camp. This was like, I think I was 11, and I went to one of these camps. We were going to a church. We were kind of church hopping. And some church says, hey, we got this summer camp coming up. And my mom signed me up for it. And we barely had been going there.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my gosh. So we go. My brother and I go. And our counselor there, I still remember his name was David something. David. But anyway, he was probably, I think you think of him as old. He probably was 22, 23 years old. You know what I'm saying? But it was like, hey, he's the old sage or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember he did. He was super cool to us. And like, yeah, he was like very attentive and like, really nice, and we had dumb questions for him, and he made all the kids feel. That's the thing too, when you're in youth ministry, you remember this. It's like kids just need to feel like they're important.
Right.
You know, that's really the key to anything. Not even just ministry, it's the key to life. Like if somebody feels like they have value to you, you win.
It's absolutely, all your awesome.
And so yeah, for whatever reason, I do remember that specifically. Like, man, that was a good experience because of that guy.
Yeah, that was really the job of a camp counselor. It's like, hey, we're going to give you like 10 to 12 students, and you just need to care only about them. You don't have to care about any other person here, any other cabin here. Yeah. Just make these kids feel like a family and a group all together. Yeah. And that's why you did things. And they, and you know, like all the counselors dress the same because they all have their little shirts or whatever. And
right.
So they're all equals. Like they're, you don't, I mean, there's always like a pecking order. There's always like the cool one or the hot one or the, you know, but like, but you don't know what their lives are like outside of camp. So as far as you know, like this is like the coolest guy.
And that's kind of what makes camp interesting too. If you're a shy kid like I was, is it's almost like the new first day at school where you can also reinvent yourself a little bit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a weird thing that people do.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to take this camp over.
I remember.
They're not going to know. They're not going to know that I've got three inhalers in my back pocket.
I remember having a couple like kids in high school who like were like kind of fringe kids in school.
Yeah.
And then you would realize that they were like gods at summer camp. you know, like they were the coolest counselor.
It was almost
like the theater kid. Hey, you have this world, this little subculture where you rule the day.
Yeah.
But in high school, you're just another person. Yeah. Maybe that's part of the appeal to it all.
Well, and again, I know you're making a little bit of divergence between like your camps, which were like probably a lot of nature and games, and we had all that,
well, especially
too.
In the Seattle area,
we had a lot of that too, but it was also like the services at night were a huge focus.
Sure. Yeah.
So that was part of what my memories are kind of laughing at some of that. A lot of like
a lot of burning your sins in the fire,
right? That whole thing of
nailing
like,
it to the cross.
And then we would have on Thursdays, which was the last full service, I remember they would do like testimonies. They would have kids come up, and which is like giving a kid a hot mic is like a loaded gun. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget this one girl. This is when I was a leader.
I was the kid that started going to church like around high school. So
okay.
I gave my testimony every time.
Yeah, yeah.
I was the testimony kid.
Right. Well, so this girl gets up one time and everybody's going up. You know, well, first of all, I used to always call it top of that testimony. Because like, it's almost like you set the gauge for how weird it's going to get by the first kid. If the first kid goes, look, you know, I've lied to my parents, and when I get home, I'm going to tell them the truth and blah, blah. Okay, whatever. But if the first kid gets up and says, look, I've been on drugs. God delivered me from drugs. Wow. The next kid's going to be like, I sold drugs.
I sold him drugs.
Yeah, that's right. So you guys got to keep going.
I was that kid's dealer.
He ratchets up atop that testimony.
My mom died. The next kid's, I killed that kid's mom.
I did drugs off his mom's carcass.
Next kid's sitting in the fringe like, I've looked at porn twice.
So that's what's happening. It's ratcheting. It's going up and up and up. And then this girl gets up.
It's like a roller coaster.
She's 16, and she was in my buddy's youth group. So I was there with her. There was another youth pastor from another town, and we were friends. And so he's watching her going, what is she going to say? Like, it's, you know, when you're a youth pastor, you're just like, what's going to happen?
What's going to happen?
I'm responsible for this child. She gets up and she's like, I just want to give glory to God because he revealed to me in last night's service who I'm going to marry.
Oh, my.
And it's her current boyfriend who now is trying to climb under the seat. She's now given the edict from on high that if he rejects her, he's rejecting the word of God.
Oh, man.
And I was like, man, that's really rough. She played the God card. I've never seen it played quite that way.
Yeah, that is in front of that big a group.
And I was like, dude, don't marry that girl.
No.
Because
he'll
never end. It'll be like, oh, where do you want to eat tonight? I don't know. Where do you want to go? Ruby Tuesdays? God told me Chili's.
It's Chili's.
Like,
it'll
never end.
And we have to get there quick. Let's go. The camp romance is a big part of camp.
Of course.
I remember having a huge crush on a girl named Katie Street. Katie, if you're listening to this, she might listen to this. I don't know. I remember, you blew it, Katie. Yeah, but I remember this so vividly because I was like, oh, Katie, you know, just huge crush on her. And I think I told her this once because we ended up going to high school later together. Yeah. But I went home after camp and like I like looked her up but it was like a risky move because her dad was the camp director.
Oh, boy.
So, you didn't really want to make a move or you're going to get sent home. That was my big nerves, you know? And I went home and like, I remember like, I like looked up, her dad's number in the phone book, dating myself here. And I was like, this is it. Cause we lived in the same city, but she went to a different school. So, and I called 3 times and I hung up every time that the camp counselor answered their phone. The camp director answered the phone.
Wow.
I remember one time as a, speaking of camp romance, I remember one time as a youth leader.
Yeah.
We were on a trip. And we was like a long, it was actually, so we were taking a bus to Lake Tahoe from Seattle, like a 17-hour, it's a very long bus, lots of stops on the way, of course, you know, like to make it fun and interesting. And there was a girl who on the bus ride, you know, started off sitting next to her boyfriend and broke up with him. And by the time we had gotten there, had a new boyfriend.
No. She started a new life.
And four rows back.
Oh, my gosh. With that guy. That's incredible.
And then that kid got, like, sick on the tree. Like, he got, like, dehydrated one day.
Yeah.
And she was a mess. You would think that was her husband of 10 years. That's Is he going to be okay? Can I go to the hospital with him? No.
Oh, my gosh. No. Well, yeah, the thing in church camp is, like, I actually have a bit about it. I do a song called The Unhappy Camper, and it's about this whole experience of, like, someone going to a service and then saying, like, I'm breaking up with you because I'm just going to date the Lord for a while or whatever. But really, they just wanted to dump you, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so the whole song, like, to get to the chorus of the song, she's dumped me, and then... the chorus says, like, she says she broke up with me for Jesus. The next time that I saw my girl, it made me sad, because if she's dating Jesus, why is she making out with Brad? So that's the hook of the song. It's like, it's all a ruse. I'm just going to date the Lord until Brad comes along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the girls mostly being interested in the counselors.
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
Right.
Because, you know, like, especially fourth, fifth, sixth grade, like, boys are still boys at that point, but girls are becoming women. Like, and so their eyes were a little more towards, like, these dreamer high schoolers. Because when you're that young, your counselors are high schoolers. Mm-hmm. They're not grown men. And they're like, oh, Chad or Brad or whoever. Hopefully not Brad. Hopefully it's not a counselor making out with a kid. That's a bad thing. Do you remember a camp crush or a camp romance? Or
there was one every year, but it's totally unrequited. Unrequited. I didn't even get their number and call their house, Dustin. Yeah, no. Yeah.
You know what's funny is I was thinking of the, you know, like how the emotional camp manipulation that they have in church camp. Just FYI, they do that in non-church camp without Jesus.
Yeah.
That's why when I started going to church camp, I was very skeptical, because I was like, they do this just without Jesus.
What do they do? I don't understand.
We sing songs and stuff. Like, we sing, like,
it's all about team building and feeling togetherness. And...
Yeah, and we're gonna miss each other. You know, there are a lot of friendship based songs. You know, I remember singing at campfire, "Blowing in the Wind." You know, like all just kind of
weepy about it.
Yeah, it was like some real. I was like, I don't. And there was some Bob Dylan stuff going on. There was like, I don't know any of these songs, but I'm sad. And there's a campfire, you know.
Yeah,
which is a little bit of a knock on church camp, and that you're like, listen, you get woods, campfire, acoustic guitar.
Yeah,
you don't need the Holy Spirit for the tears.
Yeah, it's a magical moment.
It really is something special. Do you have like when you think about summer camp, like, this was the ultimate, like, highlight moment for me and all my, as a camper?
I don't know. To me, I guess it would have been going back, like, because I felt so insecure as a kid. Mm. And so, when you kind of go back and you see, like, now you see the seventh grader out there that was you.
Yeah.
And now you're going to take the stage. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But again, it's not like it's, like, ultimately fulfilling. It's still, like... It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Because you still feel like a seventh grader, too.
Yep. Absolutely.
You
know? Yeah.
Whenever you do, you feel like a kid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I feel like I'm holding my tray, asking the kids to sit at their table, and they're going to be like, no. You know? So, like, if they laugh, I'm like, they let me sit at their table for a minute.
Yeah.
I get to be with the cool kid. I still feel that same level of insecurity sometimes.
Yeah.
So, if you can get kids to stand up for you or laugh for you, like, it's pretty cool. So, going back to that same camp and realizing, like, oh, I kind of came full circle here. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And like there is one of the things about camp, like this little weird subculture and sub community that it can create, is that kids get a different, like you said, they can reinvent themselves and they get an opportunity to maybe stand out in a way that they don't normally, whether, you know, because it's a new group of people and there's new impressions and it's just a generally more loving, celebratory environment than school.
Yeah, it is. It's just different, and you're around each other all day.
Yeah.
So it's really different from school in that way. It's like there's no escaping. You're sleeping in a room with other guys.
I remember we would do like Camp Olympics, and they were specifically designed to be like there was like sports ones, but there was also like a game of memory, and there was like a game. So there were like things that were ones that were like meant to, or there was a big game of Simon Says.
Meant to help the nerdy kids out.
Meant to help kids that weren't necessarily, I remember very vividly, like, this is like maybe the best moment of my childhood happened at camp, and then I won a belly flop contest.
Okay.
And it was like a huge thing. Every year they had it, and I was not particularly great at belly flops, but I was like, okay, I'm going to give it a try. And any kid that wanted to do it could do it. And everyone's going up there doing their belly flops and stuff. I remember this is sixth grade, and I go up and I turn around so now my back is to the I'm at the end of the diving board,
right?
And I do like a three-force backflip. So I go up, I jump very high because at this point I had a trampoline at home, and I was like, all right,
yeah,
I can do this. And I do three-fourths of a backflip and land on my stomach. So I essentially did a backflip belly flop, and I don't know what it looks like or sounds like, and I'm underwater, and I come up out of the
losing
water
their minds
to the loudest eruption.
Right. Your comedy has never gotten that response.
Never will. Never will. Nothing in counselors are high-fiving me. Some kids jumped in the pool like at the end of like a Masters into the water and stuff. It was the loudest eruption I've ever heard, which in hindsight, if I went back to camp, it was like 30 kids around a pool. But like, cool. Yeah. They gave me a trophy the next day. Wow. It was like a whole thing. And my life I have three kids. Those are the second, third, and fourth best experiences of my life is the birth of the host. I didn't have anything like that. Especially something like that grand.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't like winning awards.
I always kind of just blended in. And so, if something like that would have been like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you feel like when you go back as a speaker, like you're just kind of like as like an outsider or an entertainer?
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's almost like I'm trying to help. Like I was telling you this today when I did this youth thing, filling in for you. Part of the through line of my show when I'm doing this for students is like, don't let this stuff like wreck you.
Mm.
This insecurity you feel.
Right.
Because I'm a grown up and we're all dealing with it. Like, don't think that there's, I hate that, because I used to think there was like cool kids that just like skated through.
Yeah.
If I can only be like so-and-so, like he doesn't have. But then you get to be a grown up and you see that, you know, that guy now.
Yeah.
And he's working three jobs just to, you know, you're like, oh, he's dealing just like we're all dealing.
Yeah.
It's very reassuring.
Yeah.
It's very freeing as an adult to realize, okay, we're all just dealing.
We're all just dealing.
And so I try
that's
to
good.
Tell kids
yeah.
that. And that's so good. I think that's, I try to work that in, but I mean, in a funny way. But,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I still feel it. When you walk out, you just go, I hope a seventh grader doesn't ruin my show today. They have a lot more power than an adult would. Like tonight's show is like mostly adults, and they're going to be very polite.
Yeah.
But a lot of times a middle schooler has not learned that. He's like, this is my world, and there's this guy walking into my world.
Yeah.
I'll control this.
That's what I – I always think, I hope I don't ruin this camp for them.
You don't want to be the flat spot in the camp. Everything was good till that one guy.
Yeah, remember that comedian?
He made us cry.
In sixth grade, this was like, it was the same camp that I won the belly flop. Actually, there was like a special guest.
Yeah.
And I knew who the special guest was going to be because I was really close to my sixth grade teacher. Mm-hmm. And I remember it very vividly. It was in my sixth grade class, and she got the email. And she was like, hey, Dustin, I'm going to tell you something because it was a real teacher's pet. And she was like, the Presidents of the United States of America, the band, are going to be at camp.
Wow. Okay.
This is like 98.
Yeah, so they were still a big deal.
They were the big deal,
yeah.
Especially in Seattle. They're a Seattle band.
Millions of peaches.
Yeah, peaches for me. And and they're like, but Dustin, you can't tell anyone, which means I told one person, which means I told the whole camp.
Right, because everybody, it flooded around.
And I got in trouble for that later because everybody, like, there was no surprise.
Pusa played your camp.
Pusa played my camp.
Crazy.
I played kickball with them. They were like before. Yeah, yeah. It was amazing. It was like
that's super cool.
Oh god, and they're like the coolest guys. You know yeah. what? They, yeah, they make kids music now. Caspar no, Baby Pants. That. It's very good.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's very good.
That's funny.
But yeah, in hindsight, you're just like, oh well, man, those guys were doing a camp. And I was like, that camp had more budget than I realized. Or they're just the coolest people in the world.
Yeah, or they were just like, yeah, that's the thing too. Sometimes I realize that too. I remember I did a show, or Tim Hawkins did a show, a youth conference.
Yeah.
And this would have been 2004, 2005. And so I wasn't even thinking about comedy at that point. We come, and Tim's like a force of nature. It was unbelievable. Yeah. 1,000 teenagers, I thought. And it was after our service too, so it was like, late night, kids are in the altar, and then it's like, go get some pizza, come back, we're going to have Tim Hawkins. I was like, this poor man.
Yeah.
He comes out as like a fury. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he totally wins him over, does an hour, kills. And so I found out later like what he made to do that. And it's about what I make now.
Yeah.
It's weird to, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's weird to think like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was like, he was arcing up, believe me.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
He
yeah.
wouldn't even do an event like that.
Every
now,
gig has a point where an artist will come and do it.
Yeah.
A while back, I had a friend post a video of you two doing a corporate gig for like 50 execs at Microsoft.
It's probably $1 million.
Yeah, and they were like, people were like kind of into it. There was a thing on Radio 91X in San Diego. I heard them say that last night Weezer and the Foo Fighters did a corporate event for Cisco. You know, everybody has a price. Like,
yeah.
We all have a price of which we'll go do a bad gig.
Yep.
Ours just isn't that high yet. So... So, parents, please, let your kids listen to this. This will be therapeutic for them, whether you're sending them to Christian or non-Christian camp. And know that they're going to come back making a lot of promises.
Yes.
And all that will be gone by the time school starts. All right, thanks for doing this, Johnny.
You bet.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.